Personal ownership of the gun safety issue. Ways you can help protect the community. Today, in the Upper Cumberland. Dr. Amanda Rosenberger of Moms Demand Action believes the local community can have a lot to do with how safe our guns are. She says it begins at home because so often those that are involved in gun violence get their guns at home. Dr. Amanda Rosenberger, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Do we, as a society, do we do a good job of protecting the guns that are in our homes?
The statistics say that there are millions of children that have access to the firearms in their homes, and I would say no. I think there are individual gun owners that do an amazing job of keeping their weapons secure, and we know that the best way to do that is to lock away your firearms when they're not in your control and keep your ammunition in a separate location, also locked away in your home. That's just safe storage. And that when you take a firearm outside of your control, outside of your home, you also keep it in a locked and secure location. So if you have a firearm in your vehicle, then your vehicle needs a strong box and a lock box to secure that firearm as well. And there's a lot of information, a lot of data, and a lot of choices out there for gun owners to keep their firearms secure. Unfortunately, not everyone follows those guidelines. And as such, we have a lot of people who should not have access to firearms, who are a danger to themselves and others. And children and people with inadequate training have very, very easy access to firearms. And that shows in the statistics that firearm death is the number one cause of death of children in our country, over car accidents, over disease, over cancer, over all these things that we are concerned about with our kids. The number one cause of death of people under 18 is firearm death.
It's interesting because I was watching a sitcom just this week, and the topic of a gun in the house came up, and the statement was said, "Oh, Mom, everybody... every child in this house knows where that gun is."
Oh, yes.
And it got me to thinking, I wonder if that's really true.
I think so. I think children are naturally curious, and guns are symbols in our society and in our culture. They're symbols of power, of virility. They have a certain, they're all over the movies and TVs, and children are naturally curious, and they're drawn to it, and it's also forbidden and dangerous. So children will find things. They know. And it's important that if they do know, they still don't have access. So if you think your firearm is hidden from your children, chances are it's not. And so it's really important to make sure that your gun is safely put away. Now, safes are expensive, but a firearm lock is not. And there are firearm locks that are available at your local sheriff's office, your local police office, so you can actually get them for free. But if you go to any sort of local gun store, they're $15 or less. They're not very much. And that's a wonderful way to secure your firearm and to make sure it's unloaded wherever you're storing it.
The kids of yesterday, me included, grew up playing guns and cops and robbers and cowboys and Indians and those sort of things. And my sense is that's not as prevalent today as it was in the 60s and 70s, but yet video games seem to be all about shooting. Does that make children more, does it kind of add to what you're talking about, that guns are just, they're forbidden, they're a symbol?
Yeah, I think that I don't know if it makes children more prone to that sort of thing. I do know that the studies that are available out there suggest that that's not the case at all, that actually a lot of those video games have no correlation with violence in the individuals that play them. So the evidence doesn't point in that direction. I do think, however, they are a symbol of sort of a cultural feeling about guns that do give them a draw in terms of curiosity and in terms of a sense of power. And I think they've almost infected our adults more so than our children, because there's a longstanding myth that having a gun, possessing a gun, makes you safer. And if that were the case, we'd be the safest country in the world. Having access to a firearm makes it twice as likely that you'll die by homicide and three times as likely that you'll die by suicide, because suicide attempts with a firearm are much more likely to be completed successfully. So most suicide attempts are only happen once before a person seeks help, if the person survives the attempt. So it's a very deadly thing to have around and needs to be treated with great care. It doesn't make you safer, even if it makes you feel safer.
But do video games, do they create a reality that guns are not dangerous, in your opinion? I mean, because all you do is the game ends and all your people stand back up and you play again, right?
I don't think any more so than playing cops and robbers when you were a little kid did. You know, or all those sorts of things. I think in a sense, we know that they're dangerous because most Americans have some experience of having lost or known someone who was wounded by a firearm. It's so common in our society these days, we actually look at them with great fear and dread. And we look at videos just the way we look at video games, the same way we looked at that stick in our hands. It's a silly pantomime of what we know is not true. We know that it's a fantasy. It's only the very sickest among us that might confuse those lines. And I would say that those who are the sickest among us that confuse those lines, they show other signs of distress that put us in a position where we, as the citizens of this country that are on the front line of this epidemic, we need tools to see danger signs in our family and in our citizens in our country so that we can help them through that crisis without that crisis turning deadly in the presence of a firearm. So I do honestly think that video games and movies and things like that do create a little bit of a fantasy and a fetish culture around firearms that is concerning. But I prefer evidence-based solutions to gun violence, and I look to studies and I look to statistics to help me understand what is real and what will actually be helpful versus just sort of a feeling I might have or a sense I might have of things. And I will tell you that, you know, I have just as much experience as your average American watching those kinds of movies and watching those kinds of video games, and I have lived through a situation where there was a firearm going off and people were falling, and it is nothing like that fantasy version of gun violence. Real gun violence is very, very different.
Dr. Amanda Rosenberger is our guest. Dr. Amanda Rosenberger spoke at a recent Putnam County School Board work session, and one of the things that she said is, while maybe as a nation we are not at the point of even discussing what to do about guns, one thing that we can agree on as a society that there is no disagreement about is the fact that we can all take better care of our guns and make sure that we do everything possible for them not to get in the wrong hands. So from that standpoint, there are resources available. You mentioned the gun locks. We just did a story about Jackson County Sheriff's Department giving away those gun locks. And it actually, as my understanding, requires a key.
Yes.
If they're installed properly.
Yes, it does. It does require a key. So you also have to know where your key is and keep your key handy. But it adds that extra layer of protection from someone finding your weapon and using that weapon in a dangerous manner. And keep in mind that it's not just your family members, it's also visitors to your home. And so you may have taught and spoken to your children and you feel very confident about your own children. What about other people's children that come by? We have what's called a Be Smart program that is part of an Every Town for Gun Safety educational program. And the Be Smart program is all about responsible and safe gun ownership and encourages a culture of gun ownership that is centered around the idea of safety. And it's about the Be Smart is an acronym, and SMART stands for storage. So we've talked about safe storage, so keeping your ammunition separate, locking away your guns in a safe location. If you want immediate and quick access to firearms, there are safes out there that are much more quick to get into than a gun lock would be. It's just that the gun lock is the most inexpensive way to secure your firearm. And then there's the modeling good behavior with firearms, and everybody knows that who's a responsible gun owner. When you're around a firearm, you are completely aware of where it is. You do not point it towards anyone. You treat it with the respect that it demands. So modeling good behavior around firearms, asking parents about firearms. So you may not be a firearm owner yourself, and you have a child, and they go over to people's homes, or your grandparent, and you have kids over to your house. It's important to have discussions with other adults about these issues in your home. Oh, yes, we do have firearms. They're in a safe. The ammunition is separate because we know that, you know, Jerry, who's coming over, is a curious little guy. And you can have those conversations in a way that isn't politically charged or sensitive. So you can talk about firearms just like we talk about food allergies, just like we talk about curfews and whether or not they have too much screen time. And you can keep those conversations in amongst any other safety conversation you have with a parent. And what I always do is I just assume that the parent has a firearm. So I say, oh, are your guns stored separately from your ammunition and locked away? Because my kid isn't trained on, you know, how to act around firearms. So I just want to make sure they don't have access, you know, that kind of thing. You can also, so that's asking and talking. R is recognizing in your own children, your own family, the risks of suicide and distress. Being able to see that that's happening, because a lot of the child death from firearms is suicide. So recognizing those signs in your own children, being able to seek help when you need it. And then once you have that knowledge and that responsibility, to take the time to teach and talk about what you've learned about safe firearm ownership in your communities, and to make that part of the cultural awareness. There's a lot of things that get talked about, you know, in terms of top-down solutions for the gun violence problem. And I think that they do exist, and legislative solutions do exist. But in the absence of legislative action, there's so much we can do as individuals and as a community to keep our community safer. We know that school shootings often occur because a student has access to a firearm at home. They get their firearms from family members. And so it's up to the adults, it's up to the grown-ups in the community and the firearms owners in the community to be responsible and to not give that access to children in distress.
Are people resistant to storing firearms in a certain way because of the statement that, well, I'm going to need this in an emergency, and I don't want to have to go through all of those types of things? If there's an intruder in my home, I want to be able to act.
I understand, and I feel for that very much. I think that in that case, I would recommend a safe that they can have very quick access to and practice on their part, and ask them if the 30 seconds that it takes to go through that process for them is enough for them to be aware of the situation, think about the drywall in their house, recognize whether they have any family members that are staying there, what family members are staying there, and who are in their home. This isn't Hollywood. This isn't wake up and point a gun at somebody. That's like such a trope, right? You know, people look, grab under their pillow and point their gun at, you know, someone who's coming to hurt them. Situations that where a person would want a firearm to protect themselves, you need some time to collect yourself and know what's going on, and to be responsible in that situation. I would also just sort of counter that a little bit with, there's a lot of things that we do to protect our homes. The gun is sort of that last resort, that last ditch thing. So if you have locks, if you have other things, you also have warning and you have time. And so if it's important for you in terms of protecting yourself and feeling secure in your home, then by all means, I have nothing against someone owning a firearm for protection. And I know that for a lot of people, especially in rural places, it's 15, 20 minutes until a police officer their response time is very, very slow, or they have wildlife that they're concerned about. And so absolutely, yes, you need access to this very important tool for country living. And all I ask is that you keep it safe, and maybe if you think about the timing that it takes for you to get your weapon and say, okay, I can get it in about 30 seconds, and in that time I can take a deep breath, get my slippers on, sort of get a sense of what's really happening, and that'll be okay. That 30 seconds will be okay.
But I guess we're also talking about just, and we probably all know someone, if we're not one already, you know, that keeps the gun in the dresser drawer underneath the clothes, or keeps it on this shelf next to the shoes, or whatever the case may be. And we think to ourselves, our kids don't know that. And the reality is,
they do.
Our kids do know that.
Yeah, they know that. And I think that's a terrible thing to gamble your child's life on. And because we know how curious children are, and we know that we can't watch them 24/7. And we have to maintain these weapons. We have to take them out and clean them. You know, we might talk about them to our spouse, you know, little pictures. There's all sorts of things that happen that will let your child know at least its approximate location. And a determined curious child, you can imagine that. And maybe your child isn't determined and curious, but maybe their friend is. So I would really urge people who think that their gun is hidden to rethink that and to consider taking an extra precaution to make sure that their weapon is secured and their ammunition safely stored in a separate location.
And even if you can't afford one of these expensive gun safes, I mean, there are other kinds of lock boxes that you could get and put in a closet. I mean, there's other things that you could do.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of safes out there, and there's a lot of gun lock and security options out there that aren't that expensive. And when we think about how expensive our firearms are, also consider that a lot of illegal firearms that we have out in this country were bought legally and stolen. They were stolen from cars. They were stolen from homes. So if your home is robbed and you're gone, you don't want that weapon to be available to that criminal. I wouldn't want anything that I purchased to be used in that manner. So that security is also for when you're not at home and you want to keep your firearm out of the hands of a criminal that comes into your home. So, no, I would say that it's all about keeping it in your control. You, as the responsible gun owner, have the responsibility to make sure that that gun stays in your ownership and in your control. If you're not holding it, it's not in your control. So keeping it in a safe location is the way to go every single time.
Dr. Amanda Rosenberger is our guest. She is a member of Moms Demand Action as we talk about gun safety. No matter how you feel about gun rights, this is about trying to stop tragedies, whether it's a suicide, whether it is a gun school shooting. Dr. Amanda Rosenberger is our guest, and we're talking about just protecting your guns. So we've talked about the safety aspect of it. We've talked about kids and just their curious nature. You've mentioned suicide, but as it relates to school shooting, it seems as though more often than not that the guns were from a family member. They were a parent's gun.
That's right.
They were those sorts of things. So if you don't do it for any other reason, is that not reason to think about, you know, because a lot of times, and you've studied this much more than I have, but a lot of times parents don't want to think things about their children that maybe are obvious to other people, that maybe other people see the signs more readily than a parent.
Right, or the parent is even encouraging it, which we have seen as well, and that's terrifying. I think, but very often I don't think parents recognize that their children are just in distress, there is that tendency to minimize. And of course, just the thought of it, it's so unthinkable, isn't it, that someone would do such a thing, or that your sweet child that you love would do such a thing, or would have such a break from reality that they would think that this was a good idea. I do know that.
And how many, I don't mean to interrupt you, but how many times do you hear, I never saw this. I could not imagine that he or she would do this.
Oh, yeah, so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many times. And so, again, it's a gamble that you don't have to make. And I would say to someone, I would just say, you know, I think you're right. I think your child would never do such a thing. I just think you can take a very, very simple precaution so that you don't have to take that chance that you're wrong. And, you know, that's not a lot to ask for the safety of your community. And I do think that schools are a place of learning and fear and learning and threats don't come together very well. The way that gun violence is affecting our communities is affecting us in more ways than just death and injury and trauma. It's making us less learned, less peaceful, less civil society. So us as gun owners, it's our, and I'm a gun owner, by the way, as gun owners, it's our responsibility to counter that with a culture of safety and responsibility and to model the best behavior we can. And I think that that cultural shift can happen. Think about how people rejected the idea of seatbelts for a really long time. Think about how people used to just throw their litter out in the road and not think twice about it. There are things that we can do to educate one another and to create that cultural shift to make it absolutely normal, not a, you know, just a regular thing that if you're a gun owner, this is what you do. You store your guns in a secure location and the ammo in a separate secure location. And you do so in a way that the only time that weapon is out is when it's in your complete control.
That small thing could add to the feeling of security among a child in the Upper Cumberland. We had a rash of these threats when school started this year. And there were so many people saying, kids are afraid. They're hearing these threats and they are afraid.
They are scared. They're very scared. And, you know, I wanted to say to them, it's going to be all right. And yes, of course, the chances of it happening are very, very low. We are very lucky to live in a society where most children do live to adulthood. But it is the number one killer of kids in our country. So I can't tell them that their fears are unfounded. But I can tell them that their fears are, there are things that they can do. There's actions that they and their families can take. And when there's things to do, that fear becomes less powerful. And so I try to give people things to do in terms of their own culture at home, things that they can do with their friends and their communities, and to keep their eyes open and to look to their friends and look for their signs of distress in their friends and to speak up and to be a active, vigilant member of their community and have a trusted adult that they can speak to about anything that they see. And then I try to work with other people to say, okay, if we do see a child or an adult in distress, or we see a family that is being threatening to their neighbors or themselves, I hope that there's actions that we can take as a community to make them safer and ourselves safer under those circumstances. So that might be where the both bottom-up and top-down solutions could come in and make our community safer.
Dr. Amanda Rosenberger, thank you for spending time with us and educating us today.
Oh, well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you and being so kind. I appreciate it very much.